Welcome to Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. I'm your host, Damali Peterman. On this podcast, we invite you to share a conflict that you need help navigating, and I, along with a guest co-host, will share what we would do in that situation to help you reach your breakthrough. Welcome to the show. On today's episode, I am so excited to have Alina Pedraza in the studio. Alina, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Damali, for having me.
Oh, absolutely. You are in for a treat today. Alina and I met because we were both part of the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Businesses Program and a part of the amazing Tory Burch cohort that was of all women CEOs and founders. And Alina is the founder and CEO of Fused Fitness. Alina, please tell us more about yourself.
Okay. So I am the founder and CEO of Fused Fitness. It is a fitness facility. We offer classes, small group training, but really what we offer are transformations. And I've had my own massive transformation since opening doors about 3.5 years ago. I started when I was 24 years old, total entrepreneur by chance. So since then, it's just been quite a ride. Just learning a lot about entrepreneurship, learning a lot about myself, my mental, my spiritual, all because of opening a gym. So I definitely am excited to be here to hopefully help anyone who has any questions or needs some insight, crack it down with you.
I love that. And I love how you said you experienced your own transformation and that part of what your mission is to help transform others as they walk into your gym.
Right.
I love that. I love that. For those of you tuning in for the first time, you can simply call in our hotline number to leave a message, and you can ask any question that you're contemplating. And it doesn't have to be a conflict. It could be anything that's going on for you and you're just not sure how to navigate it. Or it could be an actual conflict that you really want to hear from someone who's not invested in the outcome. With a co-host on the air for the first time, we play the message and give you some feedback as to what we would do in that situation. So what do you think, Alina? Are you ready for the first message?
I'm excited.
Let's do it.
All right.
You have one message.
Hey, this is Brian. Just calling to find out what steps would one need to take in order to try and open up their own gym. Also, you kind of see that people are straying away from a lot of equipment in gyms, kind of like less is more. Do you think, what kind of custom setups do you think would be good for, you know, a new age type of gym? Thank you.
What a great couple of questions. So what do you need to start your own gym? And also, what about the gym of the future, the new age gym? Do you have to have equipment? How are you set up? So first, how did you know you wanted to start your own gym, Alina?
That's an interesting question for me. I didn't know that's what I wanted to do. It kind of just happened for me. Like I said, in my intro, it was kind of by chance. And it was actually, I was dating somebody at the time and it was his idea. So I went with it. If I had a little bit more insight and knowledge about what I should be doing, I would have definitely put myself in a position to learn a lot more before opening doors. So I probably would have met up with a consultant group. I would have been a little bit more strategic. I mean, I had a business plan and all that stuff, which is super essential if you need an investor or if you need a loan. But I definitely would recommend looking into different consulting groups. I actually have a consultant now who was part of the 10KSB that we were a part of. And I would be happy to share his information, but it's just really good to surround yourself with other like-minded people. And it's also really good to figure out what business models are more lucrative with where you are at location-wise. I actually recently met up with somebody who owns a gym in the city, and the business model here is more like drop-ins at different locations as opposed to where I am geographically. It's more membership basis. So it's way more, you know, it depends on where you are geographically. And as far as equipment goes and what people are looking for, that's also something that you just have to take into consideration with your demographic. What kind of people do you want to be hitting and what equipment do they like, or what kind of functional movements do they like? I know you've been personal training yourself. So what kind of workouts do you like to do?
So for me, it's funny to say that. I've gone through so many transformations myself.
Right.
I love personal training because I need that person to hold me accountable, that they're going to be there waiting for me so I will show up.
Right.
And so I really enjoy boxing. I'm a big fan of boxing. I like to do kind of, I guess, what's probably CrossFit for babies is what I call it when I go into the gym. So kind of like running with that little machine. You know, this is not my field, so I don't know what it's called. You know what I'm talking about? You kind of run. Sleigh.
A sled.
Yes, a sled.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Santa. A sleigh. Running
well,
with a sled.
Santa hat on.
That's just me in the gym looking crazy. But I also like... I like classes because to me, I get a lot of energy from seeing people around me getting into it. And you always know those people who go on a regular basis because they're like into it. Before the instructor does the next move, they're already like in the warrior pose or whatever. And I really love Pilates. Shout out to Elizabeth Gordon, who is the most amazing Pilates instructor I've ever had in my life.
That's awesome.
And I mean, frankly, if she's not in the studio, I don't even show up because she's just that amazing. And so for me, I like classes. But I like what you said. Lena, you said that figuring out what you need based on arming yourself with information is what you said in the beginning, that you would have done it differently when you started your gym if you had more information. And so I like that. I like that, Brian, for you to consider doing your research in advance, thinking about what you want to do, where you want to be, and knowing the market.
Right.
What is your demographic looking for? Alina is in New Rochelle?
No, a little bit north of that. So Yorktown Heights.
Yorktown Heights in Westchester.
Right.
And so what are they doing where you are? I don't know where you plan to be, but knowing if it's going to be more of a membership base or drop-in base, but just having a good sense of that because that'll save you time and money.
Right.
It may also help you figure out how to customize your gym because if you're trying to get me in there, then I need some classes.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And that's a cool thing about the gym industry is that there's so much out there and there's so many different routes you can take. I think that the traditional like sea of equipment, going to the gym and doing your own thing kind of thing has died out a little bit. But just knowing the target people that you want to work with and that you want to hit, knowing also things like athletes are harder to work with, not because they're not eager or whatever, but they have seasons. So you're only hitting them for a certain season. You're putting in four times the work for different seasons to get the same type of revenue. So just thinking about it in that sense, somebody in my consulting group said something really interesting recently about thinking about the market you're in and people that are, that if it's more of like a, I guess more of a renter that's living in your geographic location as opposed to a homeowner, because your turnover is going to be higher and it's going to be easier for you to get fresh blood in there more consistently. So things like that. And that's why it's also great to be a part of a group where you constantly are arming yourself with tons of knowledge so you never kind of run dry or feel stuck.
I love that. And you're also not reinventing the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
You're learning from the collective wisdom of others, and you're also like hearing people say, this worked for me, this didn't work, or don't try this, or how about you start with this, because things change. People aren't traditionally just going in there as much as before to just kind of run machines to the ground. And I even like to sometimes go with an app. And so I'm looking at, you know, a Nike running app or one of those Nike fitness apps or whatever app that has a video. And I just kind of look at what that person is doing and then I copy that. And so there's so many different ways to engage in the gym. The other day I was on the treadmill and it was a brand new one, and you can pick the country where you wanted to run, and then you're running on that landscape. Who knew you could do that?
I don't know. Before you know it, you're going to be like in the country with some telegraph or something.
It's so true.
It's crazy.
And so what I love about your question, Brian, is you said you're thinking about a new age type of gym. And going back to your initial question, which is how do you start? One, you have to find a need that you're trying to address or a problem you're trying to solve. And that could be maybe where you're located, there are no gyms there. That could be you want to bring a new age gym to an area that's saturated with more traditional gyms. But figure out what your niche is, because there are already some competitors in the space, and some could potentially say that gyms are saturated depending on where you are.
Yeah.
And so what makes you stand out? You heard Alina say that she's all about a transformational experience. I mean, that if I live near where Fuse Fitness was, I would be there, because I'm all about a transformational experience. Experiential learning and fitness to me is key, especially because no one has a ton of time as they used to kind of spend hours in the gym. I have probably 30 minutes to 45 minutes, and I need to make it count.
Right. Yeah, make every bead of sweat that drops count.
It's so true. And so hopefully there's some good things for you to think about. Just to kind of, I guess, add a little bit of legal knowledge into it. If you're going to start a gym, you may want to think about the appropriate business entity structure for you. So is that a corporation? Is that an LLC? Lena mentioned that initially she started a business with a partner, an ex-boyfriend. And so I don't know if this is your idea or something that you're sharing with another person, but think about what makes sense for you based on where you are located, your state, your jurisdiction, what's common, what's popular, and what's going to be best for you from a legal and tax structure perspective, mm-hmm. because you want to think about that too. Some people say that owning a business is like, you know, starting a family. It's true. You're starting something new, but the good thing about it is that you control it, right? And so you can decide where you're going to be, what you're going to do, what you're going to offer. And as Elena said, having some people who do something similar to talk to is so helpful because you won't be in it. You won't feel as if you're in it by yourself.
Right. Absolutely.
So please let us know how you're doing. Keep us posted. We'd love to hear feedback. We'd love to know what's going on. And I don't know, maybe they may have a new gym that we can kind of visit one day, Elena.
I'd be down.
I'd be down too. So let's go to our next message.
You have one message. Damali, hi. This is Dave. I'm a father, a husband, working professional, involved in many different organizations, and what I was hoping to get from you is some direction on how do you balance the whole thing off, both physically in terms of maintaining some level of health awareness and even psychologically. I often find myself driving to do too much. So I hope you can help provide some guidance. Any thoughts? I've heard meditation is an approach, but any thoughts you might have will be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
That's a great question, Dave. So just being a busy professional, husband, a father, and kind of having your hands in different organization and wanting to figure out a way to maintain health awareness and even kind of incorporating some mindfulness and meditation practice into your daily routine. And so I know for you, Elena, that you are really engaged in body and mind. Mm-hmm. So what comes to mind for you first?
First, what comes to mind for me is definitely meditation and starting your day with that, because if you start your day in that like harried, anxious state, that's how the rest of your day is going to go. But what I found in talking to people is the common, you know, dispute of, but I don't know how to meditate, or I've tried meditating, but I'm not good at it. I don't know what good or bad at meditation really means, but there's a couple of ways that you can approach it. So I started using the Headspace app. That's how I really got into it. And I know a lot of people did as well. But you mentioned mindfulness. My immediate thought was Sam Harris' Waking Up app. So this is a really good app for mindfulness. And that's exactly what he takes you through in 60 days. So it's a longer period. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, The idea is that habits are made over like 60-something days or 60 days, something like that, not 21 like other, you know, most people say. The app itself actually breaks down what the common – or it kind of defies what the common perception is of not thinking while you're meditating. And instead it actually encourages you to think, but in a mindful way, like you are not your thoughts, which is really cool. So there's a lot of good stuff in that app itself, but Headspace is a great app to start. There's so many different types of meditations. You can just find what works for you, but I would highly recommend not giving up on it. It definitely helped me in so many ways to just kind of ground myself and my thoughts. And honestly, like it gave me like a boost of confidence because it made me feel like I was able to conquer more. So I think that that's great. And then as you said in your last question, making sure that you're going to the gym, even if it's for 30 to 45 minutes, but scheduling that time, because that's your time to literally just like A, get those endorphins running, and B, it's a time to disconnect and show yourself your value, that you're doing this for you, and then you're able to show up more for other people, your family, your wife, the organizations that you're in. So that's really important.
I love that you said that because I feel like for a lot of people, the first thing that they like go of when they have a busy day is their self-care.
100%.
Right? It's just so easy because that's only for you, whereas right. everything else you're doing is for someone else.
Yeah.
And so I love that you said find time to do that, schedule it, commit to it, and do it. And you know, I think of exercise in the gym as being exercise for your body and meditation being exercise for your mind. And it's so key because I feel like it's something that people often overlook, but there are ways to, you know, retrain your brain to scan for positivity, doing a gratefulness practice,
right.
or to get into the habit of kind of, you know, meditating, whether it's a guided meditation or not guided meditation with one of the apps that are really helpful, Headspace, Calm, a few others, or if you can do it on your own. You mentioned that there were different types of meditations, and I know I have a lot of friends now who are doing this transcendental meditation.
I do that too.
You do it too? Well, how do you describe it in a nutshell for our listeners?
In a nutshell, basically, this is what it feels like after. It's like I took a 20-minute nap, and it's a structured meditation, so it's 20 minutes twice a day where you just say a mantra over and over again. And the idea is that your body starts releasing this tension and you're able to physically calm down, physiologically calm down. And it kind of almost like rewires your brain. It's like a fresh start and you have to do it twice a day. So people, you know, it's a great form of meditation, but for somebody just starting out, that could be like somebody just coming to the gym for the first time and going from 0 to 100 and then falling off because it's a really big commitment. And all of a sudden when things, you know, get crazy, that's the first thing to go, like you just said. But it is amazing. Like the effects of it are amazing. You just feel way more zen a lot more of the time.
I really need that. I have to look into it because I have tried meditation a few times and I do really well with guided meditations.
Yeah.
And I think the longest I've ever done it was for 10 minutes, but I feel like I could get to 20 with mm-hmm. some help. And I went on a mindfulness retreat with a good friend of mine, and it was a 3-day weekend where we had to disconnect, meaning we had to turn in our cell phones. And it was so incredible. One, I was really committed to it. I was like, look, before I left, I told my husband, look, this is where I'll be. I'm going to disconnect, because to me, you can't truly tap into mindfulness if you're still connected.
Phone's there.
Yeah, your phone's there. You're thinking about things. You're thinking about messages. You're thinking about other things.
Right.
And I was really good about like not checking. In fact, I let my phone die so that I wouldn't check it. So the battery died. And I remember just thinking, wow, like this is what it feels like to only focus on myself, which it's been a long time since that had happened. And I felt so reinvigorated. I came back on a red eye, and I remember thinking, we were coming back from California to New York, and we were thinking, everyone's just so mad on this plane. Like, what's going on? But it was because I felt like I was, like you said, you do it, you have the 20-minute meditation, and it feels like you're just waking up from a nap because you're invigorated,
you're
rejuvenated, you're energized.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so for you, caller, it sounds like there's so many wonderful things that you have going on. It sounds like you're engaged both for your family and for your different organizations. And you use the word balance. And I know balance means different things to different people. But what it shouldn't mean is that everything has to be equally distributed. What do you think, Elena?
I think that balance is just a perception. And what is balance to you? And defining that before we all go around, like, you know, with social media, it's easy to pick up on words like health, like self-care, self-love, all these things, balance, you know, just they're just kind of like trendy, you know, words now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's perception. So what is balance to you? Is balance, you know, making sure that you're hitting all three of those things, sections in your life? Or is it just making sure that you have to really sit down and figure out what balance means to you? I think that going back, also just a thought that popped into my mind in regards to putting yourself first, like you said, making sure you do that as close to the beginning of your day as possible, because what ends up happening is your day happens and then we keep putting ourselves off. Like, this is more important than myself. But if you show yourself and you make that promise to yourself and you show yourself that you put yourself first and then you get your workout in or you get your meditation in, you're building up that, no, I'm important to show up for other people first, to show up for myself first, to show up for other people. But I think that, you know, back to your last question, balance is just a perception. So what does it mean for you first? And then making sure that you're hitting that at the end of the day, like you're reflecting back, did I get everything? Did I live a balanced day today?
It's so true. And sometimes you have to think about, like, how do you prioritize things? For me, what I found myself doing on a regular basis was I would start my day with a list, and the to-do list would have like 97 things on it. Mm-hmm. Last time I checked, there are only 24 hours and like 1,440 minutes in a day. And so just think, how can I do 97 things in a day? So I would cross off maybe like 10, and I'd feel like such a failure because I didn't get to everything. But maybe those 14 things were the most important things that had to be done that day.
Right.
And so I think also, in addition to the great insight Alina had with respect to starting your day with a meditation, is also start your day with realistic goals. Mm-hmm. And, you know, applaud yourself, commend yourself for being able to cross things off of your list, but also don't put too many things on your list so that you have like an unattainable goal and then you feel like, oh, now I'm carrying over to the next day. Does that make sense?
100%. And I think that that's such a good point, is like prioritize what's important to you. Because just because we have 100 things to do doesn't mean that all 100 are important. There could be one thing on your to-do list that's going to get you further in one aspect of your life, and you can completely avoid it because you're distracted with all the other things. So it comes back to just prioritizing, what can I do today that's going to get me closer to where I want to be?
It's so true. Mm-hmm. And one of our friends, Angela Hoddle, she was talking about this planner. I think it's called the High Performance Planner. Mm-hmm. And they sell it on Amazon. And so I ordered one. It was, I think, around $16 or so. When you open it, it has like, what are the three things that are most important to accomplish today? And, you know, it kind of prepares you for various things that can arise during the day. So it was really interesting. It wants you to kind of look at that first and answer those questions first. What kind of person do I want to be today? Mm-hmm. How do I want to support someone else today? If something crazy arises, like, how do I want to handle it? So it really helps you to kind of manage your day, and to the extent possible, try to control some of your day, because every day something new happens that we aren't always expecting. But what I like about it, and I've only written in one page, okay, so I've had it for a couple of weeks. Confessions of Damali here. I've only written on one page, but I can see how using something like that as a guide could increase your performance.
Right.
Because once, when you look at it, I think it only has maybe 12 or 13 hours in it. It's not 24 hours, because you shouldn't be working 24 hours.
Right.
And so I love just kind of seeing that. I think it starts at 6:30 and ends at 7:30. And I love that, because 6:30 in the morning, I don't know what you're doing. I'm usually up doing something. And 7:30 at night, I should stop. If I started at 6:30, I should stop.
Hard
because
stop.
We need sleep, right?
Yeah. And just time to disconnect.
Yeah.
Because your brain's like all the day. It's literally just going. So even if you go to sleep at 10, like, you need at least an hour to disconnect. But I think it's really important to just sit down and be like, all right, what do I want to do today? Who do I want to be? And what actions do I need to take to get there? And also realizing that at different points in your life, different things are going to be a priority. So it's not every day where all six things that you might have on your plate are going to be of the same importance. It's going to be different throughout your life. So
true. And the only thing that I'll add, because Alina, you've dropped so many gems today, which I love and appreciate. The only thing I'll add to that is, I know for me and a couple of people that I know, I like to do things first thing in the morning to start my day. So I would do a meditation in the morning, a workout in the morning, because at the end of the day, you will never see me in the gym. I just can't do it. I don't have the energy.
The mental
energy. I don't have the chutzpah. I don't have anything at the end of the day. However, I do know some people, and we had someone in the studio recently who said that she does her meditations at night.
Okay.
And like right before she goes to sleep, and that helps her to prepare for the next day. Mm-hmm. And I know folks who tell me that they can only work out at night at the end of the day. And I'm like, how do you even have energy to do that? And so the only reason that I add that is, I don't want you to think that you can, you know, maybe the middle of the day. We don't know you, so we don't know what really works for you. But I just want to say, like, figure out, as we were talking about earlier, what works for you, what's best for you, and, you know, keep trying. So try the morning, as Alina said, and see if that works. And if you can get into it, it's awesome. Start your routine and don't give it up. You know, don't like put others before you all the time. And if that doesn't work, maybe try afternoon, maybe try midday, maybe try evening. Just keep trying till you find, it's like darts, right? You're throwing darts at the wall. Yeah. And
patience,
to see what sticks.
Like,
patience, consistency.
That's a huge thing, that in anything, gym routine, anything that you're trying to do. We just like, we try for like 5 minutes and we're like, no, it didn't work for me.
That's me.
On to the next.
I went running one time outside and I was like, oh my gosh, it's so hard. I'm going back indoors. And I was like, wait, right, maybe I shouldn't run along the river in the wintertime because it's just freezing and not a good idea.
Change of the conditions, the time, anything.
And then it could be a better experience. Yeah. And so for you, Dave, you know, I think we've given you a lot of things to consider. We wish you luck on this journey. We're hoping that you do find your definition of balance in your life. And we're here to support you and continue to provide insight to the extent that you find it helpful. So let us know how you're doing.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And so thank you, Dave, for calling in. I'd like to also thank our first caller, Brian, for calling in as well. And many thanks to the audience for tuning in. And for you, Alina, you've been spectacular. Thank you so much for being in the studio today.
Thanks, Damali, for having me.
Absolutely. And guys, get to Fuse Fitness. I mean, you have to go there because if you're looking for a transformational experience, I mean, you've heard it here. Alina's, she's got you. I'm your host, Damali Peterman, and this is Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. Continue to break through and have a wonderful day. Do you have any barriers that we can help you break through? If so, you can leave a brief message at 646-363-6322 or on our interactive blog at www.breakthroughadr.com. Please follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at the @BREAKTHROUGH, DR. I'm your host, Damali Peterman, and this is Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. Although I am a lawyer, mediator, and an educator, and many of my co-hosts will represent various professions, we want to be clear that we are not providing legal advice, counseling, or suggestions. Our goal is to provide a roadmap for conflict resolution to generate future conflict resolvers. Continue to break through and have a wonderful day.